welcome back to Mother Tongue, your extra set of eyes, ears and finger on the pulse for all parents around the world. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Sarah. We are your co-hosts. We catch up weekly, chatting with experts, people of interest and mamas from around the world to discuss everything relating to parenthood.
Listen in to hear more on navigating mamahood, the products we swear by and the experiences we've been through during pregnancy, motherhood, work and beyond.
Let's get going, shall we?
My week has been full of coughing, sick children and doctor's appointments.
Sounds really fun.
It's really fun. So one thing I am very thankful to the school for is they are quite on it with really checking on your child's development, and now they've started phonics at school. They have noticed Bodhi still isn't pronouncing some of them in exactly the right way, as they should change how they pronounce things as they get older. So they have a speech therapist at school, which I had no idea about, who's been doing a bit of work with him. And then I have now started to look into how I can support the school with this further. So we once had Jessica, aka Speechy in Dubai, on the podcast.
Love her.
She was fab. So I have had an initial consultation with her the other week for Bodhi. And he can completely pronounce things and communicate, so it's not a big deal. But it has now put us down the rabbit hole of lots of different tests, which, again, I'm very grateful for in Dubai that we get to do all these tests and so super quickly. But it has been a very busy couple of weeks with just hearing tests, tonsil checks, adenoid checks, tried to do a hearing test today, but he's got fluid in his ears, which probably because of coughs and colds non-stop. And then he is going to have his first appointment with Speechy on Thursday, which I'm very looking forward to.
I'm very excited for you. I mean, I love her and I'm so glad you're fixing it and it's all moving forward. I just feel like it's one thing after another. I feel like
non-stop.
The mental to-do list is just wild.
I am just a taxi service. Constant.
Isn't it boring? Today I had to go across town for something and it took me nearly 45 minutes to get home, which should have taken me 20 because of the traffic.
And I don't think the grey weather is helping at the minute because there's been rain due.
Every single time we host a shopping event, it decides to rain.
You know what else we've got this week to add to the list? World Book Day.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing?
So, first of all, normally it's a character, right?
It is. It's a book. That's why it's called World Book Day.
Yes.
That's why. I don't understand why it's something else. Were you informed about this, by the way?
Because no, until they sent out the poster, which said...
Was there a poster?
Yeah, there's a poster. Oh, and it said, dress them as an idiom.
What does the word idiom even mean? Because I actually don't know.
Right. So, it's those sayings that make absolutely no sense. Like, it's raining cats and dogs.
Are you joking?
I am not making a costume of cats and dogs and rain and umbrellas or break a leg or any of those ones that make absolutely no sense.
But that's not a book.
No.
So why is it called World Book Day and we're not being told to dress as books?
So I was going to do what you do and just go for the only thing that Bodhi likes, which is Paw Patrol, which doesn't have a book, but so what? Then I thought he's got a policeman's outfit, so I'll find a book that's like, you know, burglar bill or something. But no, it's a word or an idiom. So I decided to cut all corners and he's going as happy. And I've ordered a lovely top with smiley faces on it and some yellow shorts.
Well done. Rafa's still going his chase because I bought the outfit and I was not going back on that. Plus, like, he won't wear anything else. He's so excited about World Book Day as well. He keeps on being like, two more sleeps. I'm like, sure, hun, but it's not actually World Book Day. It's World Idiom Day. Still don't really understand that one.
Which it's not. I've just got some more for you. Wear your heart on your sleeve.
Oh, yeah. I swear you mentioned something about wearing your heart on your sleeve a few weeks ago. And I actually ignored you because I thought you'd gone totally crazy.
Well, that's when I was like, I'm going to just literally cut out a piece of paper in the shape of a heart and stick it on his top.
I mean, that would have been a great idea. Why didn't you do that?
Time flies when you're having fun. That's so easy to make a costume out of. Yeah. Speak of the devil. Best of both worlds. Like how, why and how?
Yeah.
3 years old.
We're not doing that.
No.
It's not a thing. It's not happening. I'm still going as Chase and we made a sign at the weekend which says the word brave on it because Chase is brave. I don't know why you're showing me the poster. Like,
the poster that says, dress your child, dress as your favourite piece of challenging vocabulary or idiom.
Well, brave is challenging vocabulary for a three-year-old, reining cats and dogs. I mean, no, I don't know which parents have this much time on their hands to do this. It's a no, brave, chase the brave dog. Sure, done, tick, tick. And hopefully next year we'll just go back to being plain and simple World Book Day. Please. That would be marvellous. But yeah, so that will be a nice tackle. That's for Thursday, isn't it?
And then it's Mother's Day and it's Ramadan.
And oh, the fun thing about Ramadan is school finishes like an hour and a half earlier than it's supposed to.
And then they get 3 weeks off.
I know.
And then it's summer.
What do we do with that?
First world problems.
I know. We need to stop complaining. But it's quite annoying. It is quite annoying. But yeah, I mean, very excited to spend lots of quality time with my children. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm so excited. But in other news, unparenting related news, I'm just going to jump in there with the fact that, guys, we launched a website. Ooh. It's very exciting. Please go and visit it and share your feedback. And if there are any spelling mistakes, please flag them to us. This was supposed to be a project that took 6 weeks. It's taken the best part of 6 months. So I'm very excited to share it with you. Basically, it's a place where you can find all our podcasts, win-win, all our videos, win-win, and all our favorite product recommendations as well. So every product we love is there on the website. And we're going to be building another really exciting section of the website that should be launching hopefully in another 6 weeks, not another 6 months. So we'll keep you posted on that as well. It also has all our discount codes. So if you're looking for a cheeky discount, you can find them all on there. It's very, very exciting. I'm going to say it. So write it down, memorize it, whatever you want to do. www.wearemothertongue.com. Nice and simple. Same as our Instagram handle, just in case you're wondering. I'm very excited. Very, very excited. It actually looks quite decent.
It does.
There's lots of pictures of us, which is probably not necessary, but, you know, here we are. We are the face of Mother Tongue, I guess. So you'll see a lot of our faces. Lucky you. We got another exciting episode this week.
Always exciting episodes.
Yeah, always. I mean, I say this every week. We've got another exciting... No, actually, can you imagine if I was like, we've got a really dull shit episode for you this week?
This one's boring. No, this one's great. And I think it's the topic that should resonate with a lot of people.
Lots.
Because it's all about body confidence and styling. Firstly, she's got a really interesting background. She has styled so many celebrities and done so many amazing photo shoots with people that her Instagram, you have to check out.
It's yeah, you do.
Impressive.
You do.
But in terms of body confidence and styling, I remember feeling so lost after giving birth and not knowing what to wear and the pregnancy clothes are now too big. And then I ended up in my maternity jeans for far too long.
They are great, though.
They are so comfy.
Have they gone now?
They have gone, but these jeans are too big and I need to get new ones. So
you need to go shopping.
I do. It's very interesting what she says in terms of how you structure your wardrobe and the different occasions. And she's actually going to come and do a styling or wardrobe review with me next week, which I'm very excited about.
I'm very excited about this too.
Because I need to work out what key staple pieces I need, because I feel like my day-to-day stuff is lacking.
I'm very excited to hear about this and have the lowdown after it's all happened. But yeah, guys, another, as I said, super exciting episode today. So I think without further ado,
let's get going, shall we?
Today's guest has been dressing the fabulous and famous for many years. With a strong female client base specializing in red carpet, event, editorial, and commercial styling, her style has led her clients to appear regularly in best dress allocates on Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, Elle, Tatler, and more. Fast forward a few years and two kids later, today's mama relocated to Dubai a year ago and has since started her own business, Carob, a Mummy and Me clothing brand that offers flattering, easy to slip into styles that instill easygoing glamour for all women and little ones. We are so incredibly excited to welcome Holly Elgetti to Mother Tongue. Holly, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good. We've actually just had our first wellness morning. I feel like the world is into wellness. And as the world is into wellness, Mother Tongue is also into wellness. So we obviously had an ice bath this
morning, followed by some avocado on toast and a coconut cappuccino. I mean, how cliche are we? But I loved it. I loved it. Sarah took the ice like a pro. It was actually her first time in the ice and she had a small panic.
I did see the photo and Sarah looked like she was just, you know, looking very calm and you were like...
Yeah, well, get me out. Well, get me out.
I did it properly for 2 minutes and thought I was going to give up and then had to get back in just for a nice photo.
When she says she had to get back in, Sarah was the enforcer of the photo. She was like, Mary, we've got to get back in because we haven't had a snap of us together in the ice bath. And I'm thinking, F you. Like, no. She's like, no, we need to do it for the gram. I'm like,
all
sure.
For the gram.
All for the gram.
But then Marianne was like, I'm getting straight out. And then shoved her head in it for a good 30 seconds, face straight in.
The face plunge. What? Is the one. Yeah, loves it.
So yeah, I can see how that would definitely wake you up.
Long story short, we've had a very enriching wellness morning. And here we are on a very cloudy Dubai day, speaking to you all about body confidence, which I'm very, very excited about. So before we get into all the good bits, can you please tell our lovely listeners a little bit about yourself?
A little bit about me. Okay, so I am a fashion stylist. I started in the industry I did a university course, like did the whole fashion and design course, did an internship at Alexander McQueen. And then I basically saw this stylist come in and this was like 2010. It wasn't like as big a thing as it is now. Like I didn't really know the job existed. So anyway, I saw this stylist come into the McQueen office and I was like, that looks really, really fun. I need to go and do that. So then that's where how I kind of got started. And I worked for a magazine called 1883, which is still going, I believe. And it's a really cool, like, underground fashion magazine. Yeah, it was great. It was a great place for me to start because I could really do my own photo shoots. Like, they gave me a lot of, like, responsibilities because it was quite new. And that's where I kind of found my love for styling real women. So I didn't really get on very well with the fashion editorials. That wasn't really, like, my bag. But as soon as we started doing talent, so we did like a photo shoot with Ellie Goulding and Santa Gold, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, like this is what I want to do, like style like real women. So then I kind of got chatting to people and I had this interview at Sony to style the Little Mix girls, and that's when, like, I don't know how I got the job, but I got the job and I was like suddenly thrown into the music industry. And yeah, I just went from there. I just been styling people ever since. Absolutely loved it.
Wow. Can we do some more name dropping, please, so I can make notes and see who we can get on the poddy?
Oh my gosh, who have I worked with? I've been so lucky to work with so many amazing women. So I worked with all the Little Mix girls for like 2-3 years. I still like work with Perry, like on one-off stuff now. Catherine Jenkins, worked with Stacey Dooley, worked with Suella, Tanya Burr. Quite a few like British actresses from like BBC shows like Paul Dark and stuff like that. And with the actresses, I mainly work on like red carpet and events, so that's like its own entity, like so different to the photo shoots. But yeah, it's been great. I've learned so much from these women. Oh, Elizabeth Day as well. I love her. Yeah, she's just the best. She is literally, as you know, she's the best person. Like, I loved being on set with her. She's so uplifting and yeah, like a real girl's girl.
Yeah.
Amazing people and famous people. What has been some of the most rewarding moments in your career so far?
I look back on stuff and I often like get really self-critical. But then actually, I've done some pretty cool stuff that I look back like proudly of. Do you know what I mean? So the Little Mix girls, that was a big chunk. Like the highlight for me with them was when we went to LA to film the Black Magic video, because that was just, I feel like that's when it was all buzzing around them and the girls are so fun. And like we went to big all-American high school, and I've always wanted to go to one of those. It always looks so fun, you know, because we grew up with those 90s movies. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it was exactly as I imagined it to be. And we spent, I don't know, all like 2 days filming there. It was really fun. I also, career highlight, like styling, I've always wanted to style the big red carpets. That was always like a big thing for me. So doing like being able to do like BAFTA and NTAs and Evening Standard with my girls, that was great. A highlight would be Nashville. I don't know if you guys ever watched Nashville. Have you seen Nashville?
Yeah. Yes.
Love it. So I got to go to Nashville, which was, I love country music and the whole show and everything. So I got to go to Nashville to film like Una Healey's new solo video.
Fun.
And that was amazing. I loved it. yeah, Nashville's great fun. There is music everywhere. Like, it is like the show.
Oh my God.
Like, my only thing that I feel like I really wanted to do was I really would love to have styled someone for the, was it Country Music Awards, CMAs? There's still time.
There is. Loads of time. And obviously this all happened whilst you were in the UK. Can you tell us a little bit more about your life over the recent years? Because I know you are now mum to two small, lovely little humans.
Mm-hmm. It has changed profoundly. I feel like no one tells you when you enter motherhood. I mean, for me, it was kind of like a weird one because I fell pregnant with my son 2020 when COVID hit. So there was no work anyway. So during my pregnancy, the whole time, the industry was shut down. There was no, like, obviously no photo shoots, no events happening. And then obviously, then I had my son. So you're talking like another 9 months. And I got pregnant again pretty quickly, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, so I feel I had this weird, like, 2 year maternity where I was kind of on and off working. Like, I did the odd bit. I really wanted to work, but I couldn't quite work with two young kids and house renovation and everything else we were trying to cram into our lives at that time. So my husband was like, oh, I think it would be quite good for us to have a little bit of a change, and got this job in Dubai. Like, how do you feel about it? And I was 6 weeks postpartum with my youngest, my little girl. And I was just like, oh, do you know what? Okay, it's time for a change. But I don't really think at the time I thought about the career I was leaving behind. I think I was just in this survival mode. I'm sure you guys kind of understand. Where you're just like, let's just go. Yep, we'll go with the flow. And I'm here. But it's been great. It's definitely the right call for family.
How was that whole process moving to Dubai with two small kids? Because we both moved here, but quite a long time ago now, with no children. In fact, I didn't have a husband. You had a husband, right? Yeah, you had a husband. So, you know, you had that baggage.
Still do.
Yeah, still here. How was that whole process? Because I can imagine it must be quite overwhelming as a mum to young children to pick up your life, move away from your family and go to a country that you've never been to.
Honestly, I've never been. I don't know. I feel like I had this gut instinct that it was going to be the right thing. And I just kind of followed it for once. I was like, this is all I have to go on. So let's just go with it and see what happens. But it was highly stressful. I'm not going to lie, because my parents don't live in the UK. So I didn't really have like any kind of day-to-day help with the kids. Like, my son was in nursery 2 days a week. And then we had this fabulous nanny that came to help us. And without her, I would have been just like completely swamped, because they were both babies when I had my daughter. My son was only 12 months old. So it was like, I just needed somebody to help and watch. But then I had this 6 week period in Portugal where I went to live with my parents. And that was really tough because I had to do that without James. Yeah, it was just, I was glad when we got here. And then I think I've just spent the last year kind of processing what happened, actually, to be honest. And that we've moved and that we're here. And it takes a while to get settled.
Yeah, it does take. I think it takes a good year to really feel like get used to. So what has life been like now in terms of your career?
Well, when I first got here, I wasn't even thinking about it, to be honest. And then I met with an agency that I'm actually signed to about styling out here and thought about doing that. But then when I really thought about it, I wanted something that would match my family life, which I'm sure a lot of mums can relate to. I feel like I just needed something I could do on my own time, not be bound by hours, especially long hours on set. So I thought, what can I do that kind of binds? Because I love working and I love what I do. And I just like, I really missed that part of myself. So I was like, what can I do that merges the two? That like the motherhood and the styling. And then, you know, I had this idea to just create a Mummy and Me brand, Carib, which I did start in the UK actually as an events dress brand, but that got kind of sidetracked when I had the kids. So I thought, oh, I'll pick that back up, but I'll do it as this Mummy and Me brand that I can kind of do on my own time. It's been great.
How did you find it becoming a mum and, you know, your completely new figure? And I felt completely lost in the first few months, probably longer than a few months. Clothes didn't fit, but I didn't want to stay the way I was. So I was really stubborn. I didn't want to buy new clothes.
No, me neither.
Lose your confidence. Are there any like staple items that you had or that you recommend that you should have?
The first like 6 to 8 weeks, are we talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought about this a lot because I felt exactly the same as you guys. I was I was completely like thrown in the deep end, to be honest. I put on 3 stone with my son. A lot of it was water retention, to be honest. Mm. But I was miles away from my wardrobe. And I think like the main thing is comfort and practicality in those first like 6 to 8 weeks. Like I was thinking about it before the chat, and I was like, we do everything for the baby. We organize the baby drawers. They've got like 2 to 4 months, 4 to 6 as they grow. But our wardrobe, we do nothing with. I mean, mine was exactly the same. And I just didn't even think about it. So I think like when you're prepping for the baby's arrival, you should also be prepping for the 6 to 8 week period of time where you need to be in comfort and comfortable and practical clothes, you know, like loose, breathable tops that you can nurse in, nursing bras, like whip out all those sexy bras and replace your drawer with the nursing bras, like just so they're not visible to you, just pack them down. The same with the knickers, like everything, pack it down, pop the realistic 6 to 8 week knickers in there. Like
the massive ones.
The massive ones. Yeah, well, my friend told me about these incontinent knickers. Did you guys use those?
No.
They are a game changer, honestly, because my friend was like, oh, don't worry about the pads because the pads are just difficult and stuff. Why don't you try these incontinent pants? Just get some off Amazon. And honestly, it was a good game changer because I wouldn't have to worry about knickers for the first 2 weeks. I just used those and they were brilliant with a C-section scar because nothing was rubbing against it. They were all high-waisted. I just threw them away when, you know, when you need to, because obviously you bleed quite a lot in the first like 2 weeks. They were a game changer. So I'd definitely invest in some packets of those. But yeah, just change your wardrobe for those 8 weeks would be, I know it takes a bit of time, but you have the time before you have babies. So that's when I would do it. When it comes to like things to wear, just remember that you need like elastic waistbands, like comfortable leggings, like wrap dresses, flowy dresses, things that are just really comfortable around your mid area. And if you're a jean wearer, dungarees are great because they don't have any elastic around the waist. So you can pop those on and kind of feel like yourself. The other thing I did want to talk about was the recovery pants. So did you guys wear recovery pants with your births?
No, I don't think I did either.
So there's this amazing Australian brand called SRC. It's cool. Like they have a big recovery range, like lots of different styles, lots of different colors. And my friend had a scheduled C-section, so she was a bit more prepared than I was. She was like, you have to get these. Honestly, they're brilliant for any birth. Like they basically aid your recovery. And I felt really like loose. Like my tummy, it just felt really like loose. So like even if you're wearing those like wrap dresses or button down shirts, you're still like, oh, I feel like, I don't know, wobbly, especially with C-section. These, again, they were amazing because you can just pop them on underneath and you feel secure. Like it gives you some like a security blanket. Like you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm going to like fall apart.
That's so nice. I'm going to definitely link these in the show notes. I mean, do you think your general style has changed since becoming a mum? Do you think, has your body changed or has it gone back to how it was pre having kids?
Absolutely. At the moment with the kids, as young as they are, it has changed because my lifestyle has changed. And this is something, again, like, you know, we expect to like go back to ourselves, but like what I used to wear before I had children is just completely unrealistic now because I'm practically, it's just not possible. So I used to wear a lot of jeans. I still do wear a lot of jeans now. But yeah, I think like your lifestyle shifts so much that inevitably there is going to be a change in your personal style, but there's aspects of it you can bring in. So like, you know, if you used to like love wearing gold jewelry and stuff, you can still do that, pop that on.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what you're wearing with it, like just little snippets of your old self that you can bring back. I don't know when the day will come where I can wear unpractical clothing with them.
Yeah.
When is that?
Not for a while.
Sorry, yeah, I think we're a few years off.
I feel like silk clothing, white clothing, short clothing is, I know, all,
it's all joy.
Yeah. A few years to come.
For life, for the next 5 years. The other thing that I find really hard as a mom, I feel like the fashion industry in general doesn't really appeal to the mum market, as it were. There aren't many brands that are like, hey, mum, come shop here.
Yeah.
And the brands that are, it kind of feels, especially if you're a mum who used to have some style, that's not being me, by the way, but if you are, you know, you don't really want to gravitate to the typically mumsy brands, which there are some, because they just feel like that's what my mum wears and don't feel like you're your mum yet. I mean, are there any brands that you really, really love that really kind of embrace mum life without being mumsy?
I would say no, not ones that label themselves as mum brands. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's just about finding pieces within the brands that you usually like that now work for you. Because all the ones like based around mum life, they're very maternity led, you know, nursing and stuff. But what happens like when you finish with that?
Yeah, I think that is where there is the massive gap.
There's a massive gap. And like, I was thinking about this. I read an article like back to like the wellness and like body image thing that was saying that they researched like 600 posts with the hashtag postpartum body, and only 5% of those images focused on like stretch marks and like saggy boobs and cellulite and scarring and stuff. And I was like, 5% of 600 posts is really very, like, we've got a long way to go to like normalize postpartum, because it isn't just the first 3 months for me. Like, your body, it changes forever. Like, it's a lifelong thing. So I love Free People. I will say that. They do really nice flowy dresses. I'm always on there.
You're right. I mean, my figure will never be what it was, but I still didn't feel like I was me again for a full year. And I still feel like I've got a way to go. Now, I mean, do you think motherhood has influenced your perspective of body image and personal style?
Yeah, I think body image for sure. Like, I flicker between like being like, oh, my body's amazing, because, you know, like, I couldn't run for like 2 years and now I can run, and I feel a lot more energized after exercise than I did pre-baby. I don't know if you guys have that, but I didn't have like the respect for my body. I didn't really like think about it. But now I think about it quite a lot. But for me, it's like the comparison side. So I could be feeling great. And then, so I really suffered with diastasis recti. So for me, like living out here on the beach, wearing like a low sling bikini, like this is just something that's never going to happen. Unless I like was full on confident or whatever. But for me, I don't feel confident wearing it. So if I'm like there and there's other mums there wearing that, sometimes that can make me feel a little bit, oh, I'm never going to get there. Because that's just not something that my body's going to heal in that way. But, you know, there's other things I can do. So like, I like to wear like high-waisted bikini, and that's okay, or a swimsuit, and that's okay. And I think it's just knowing what kind of areas are your pinch point. Do you know what I mean? Like, for me, it's very much my stomach area is my pinch point, and that's the bit that I feel self-conscious about still. And a lot of it is just that comparison that happens on like Instagram. You're feeling great, and then you do a little scroll and you're like, oh damn, I need to be fitter. But we're knackered. Like, when are we going to do this? It's really hard with the images that we've been portrayed. Like I was saying, with that 5% is nothing. So that actually like promotes a healthy relationship with postpartum bodies. Like, what actually is the reality for most women?
It's so terrifying.
Yeah.
And I mean, you mentioned there earlier about, you know, finding flickers of your old self, like the gold jewelry you can still wear. But what other clever ways can we feel confident through clothes when we're kind of in that postpartum period, or, you know, motherhood life, really? Because as you said, you might not ever get back to what you looked like in your 20s. In fact, it's probably unrealistic to think that we will.
I know. Because you wouldn't necessarily think that you would look the same even if you hadn't had kids. But
yeah.
So I have this like tips like to reconnect with your style like after birth. For me, it's all lifestyle led. So, I mean, when you say that you don't feel like yourself, is that on like a day-to-day basis, or is it like when you go out, or you're trying to like dress for a certain event, or like when is it that you feel like that is hard and that deflates you a little bit?
Look, it's something that I don't necessarily struggle with anymore.
Yeah, great.
My postpartum journey has been, it's not been different to most, but I was mostly overweight in my 20s, then lost a lot of weight when I got married, then put on 30 kilos when I got pregnant with my first child, lost a smidge of that, and then put on more weight with my second, and then kind of came out of both pregnancies with a lot of weight on. And it's taken me, where am I now? Where are we? Isla's 18 months. So it's taken me 18 months to lose the weight, and I'm down like 25 kilos now. I don't know. I'm very lucky that I feel very confident, but I've worked fucking hard to get to this point.
Yeah, exactly. It's so hard, but it's hard work. And 18 months is like the normal. Apparently they say like 9 months per baby.
Oh God.
You get to a point where you're confident, but you still shouldn't be trying to compare to your pre your 20s or your pre-baby figure, because you know you've stretched your skin so much in your pregnancies. And
yeah,
and everyone carries their babies differently, because this is what got to me. With I had quite severe diastasis recti, and I was like, why has this happened to me? Like, I don't understand. And then I was like, oh, well, I'm quite short, to be honest. And my babies are really, really big. So there wasn't much room for them, bless them, to grow. So, like, of course, I had them back to back, like all the things that cause like bad diastasis I had. So going back to like how I dress now with that issue, because I tend to get bloated throughout the day because of the diastasis. Like some days it's fine, other times, like, I don't know, it's not. So I just make sure that I'm wearing things that are comfortable. I pack like a shirt in my bag. I like wearing like tight tops and jeans, but obviously like now I feel a little bit more uncomfortable in that. So I always make sure that I've got like a shirt or a jacket with me if I'm going out to meet friends, or, you know, dresses like this one that like smocked on the waist that kind of like extend with you throughout the day, things like that. Like wrap dresses are good. I mean, that's not really my style, but yeah, I think like there are ways, you know, you just have to address what is, and everyone has things that they love and that they dislike. And they had that before pregnancy anyway. So, you know, like I've never been one for loving my legs. Like I just, if I wear a mini skirt, I feel like utterly uncomfortable. I always pull it down. Like, oh, why did I wear that? I just feel so conscious. So if you, yeah, just like avoid everything that you didn't want before anyway, because it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be you now. I think it's just like comfort is key. Comfort brings confidence. Something I always said to my girls, you know, like you're going out doing these big events. Are you ever going to feel good if you're like, oh, I don't know, like that's, I feel conscious of my arms today and I'm in a spaghetti strap top and, oh, just get me out of here.
No, it's so true. And actually another hack that I found recently that really has helped me is I love things that are high waisted. 20-year-old me was always like, must fit into skinny jeans. And actually, like you, I'm really conscious of my legs and I actually really don't like them. So wearing stuff that's high-waisted and jeans that are either kind of like a slightly baggy style or a bit more flared really suit me. But then stuff that's high-waisted, if you don't have short tops, sometimes it can make you look quite bulky around the mid areas. So I have recently discovered the leotard or the one piece.
Oh, I love it.
And I'm
it
tucks in. There's none of that like bulking around your mid area. So you don't feel like you're adding more weight to that area anyway. And because you've got the high waisted, you don't, like, it's kind of covering the baby bulge or the postpartum bulge, which I still have. I don't think I'll ever get rid of that. So yeah, God, I've invested heavily in leotards and high waisted items, which I love.
I love that. And because you're secure. You know, you're like comfortable because it's all like secure. You feel good as well with the jean thing. And like often people think, oh, well, skinny will make me look skinnier. But that's just like a straight leg jean will do you wonders, like a lot better. So playing around with that as well. Yeah, it's great. I did see you on that on Instagram and I thought she looks fabulous. I love that outfit.
She loves a leotard, loves it. Another thing that I don't know if you are the same. I mean, I've never been able to wear heels. I tried endlessly in my 20s, and I've, you know, come into my postpartum motherhood life and realized that kitten heels and trainers are my best friends, and I've actually got rid of all the heels in my cupboard because I look like a twat.
I love that. Oh, I love that you got rid of them. This is exactly what we need to do. Get rid of the stuff that doesn't like bring you joy, as Marie Kondo says. But it's so true, because, you know, like, if you, like they say, if you want to reconnect to your style, you've got to like start with your wardrobe. I love the idea of thinking of your wardrobe as like a pie chart. It sounds really silly, but like a circle with like categories, say, and what it was pre-baby is completely different to what it is now. So you might wear now, like, say you have five categories: active wear, lounge wear, casual wear, smart day, evening. Now it's like, okay, I wear 30% active wear, but I have like two leggings and two tank tops to wear to the gym, so that's a bit uneven. I should probably fill that category up a little bit and make myself feel better. You know, this kind of casual wear part of my wardrobe, I'm now wearing 40%. I find I have quite a lot of bottoms, but not enough tops. So you pop, you know, that on your list. And it's just so interesting because pre-baby, my percentages were just like completely different.
I love this as a way to substantiate why you should go shopping.
Exactly. Because so often we just like, oh, I'll just wear that again. Or, you know, you chuck it on the chair in your bedroom and then you've got to get the kids to school the next day and you're like, oh, I'll just whack that on again because, like, I literally have like three pairs of workout leggings and I like wear them four times a week. So it doesn't really work. So I think like invest in stuff that you know you wear a lot that's going to make you feel good. It doesn't matter what it is. You know,
I do think I recently had someone come over and help me kind of sift through my wardrobe because I've, again, I feel like as mums, bizarrely, we hold on to clothes from our youth. So I still have clothes in my wardrobe that I was wearing when I was 25 and, or, you know, pre getting married or on my honeymoon, which one, I mean, it's like what a teenager would wear, like a top that said kind of, it said something like, yeah, bruv, or something stupid on the front. Why do I still own this? Why is this bright orange fluorescent thing that I once wore to an M&M concert still in my wardrobe? This is not my vibe. But anyone who's really struggling, because sometimes I think people also really struggle to let go and they need that little bit of nudge. Having someone to help me kind of go through my wardrobe, try everything on and be like, it's actually really useful. Just hadn't also have someone say, right, invest in, you know, a couple of pairs of jeans. This kind of style really suits you, or, you know, a couple of tops or whatever it might be. It felt so good to kind of get rid of the stuff that was only making, like, taking me back to my old self.
Exactly.
We need to stop looking back.
Yeah, I think I need someone to help me because I have done that and kept things in boxes. And then you think they'll fit one day. And then when they do fit, they're not your style anymore.
No, exactly.
It's so true. I think it's like the best thing you can do to reconnect with yourself, because it's so, what you wear is so linked to how you feel about yourself. It really is. I feel like it's kind of downplayed, like, you know, oh, it's just fashion, but fashion is so different to personal style. Like, they're two different things. Like, to be honest, I've never really been that interested in fashion or being like wearing the latest thing or having the latest brand. Like, that's never been like what I've been interested in. I'd much rather have my own like sense of personal style and like be able to go to a shop and be like, oh no, that's not me. That I won't wear that, and like edit it out. So yeah, if we can get a hold on that, I think everyone would just feel a lot better.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's very hard though. Like, then regardless of, you know, where you are in your postpartum journey, even if you think you're looking great, I still feel like finding your style can be really, really challenging and hard. And I feel like, again, this thing that we constantly do as parents is just kind of put ourselves to the bottom of the pile.
Like, we're almost not allowed to feel good. Like, I had this a lot. Like, my first night out, we came to Dubai, because I've always loved getting dressed up for a night out. Like, that's why I go, to be honest, just so I can wear an outfit. The first night we went out, it's like, oh, I'm a mum, but I'm actually allowed to look nice. And like, I put my heels on and I feel good. I feel sexy. Like, it's nice. Like, I haven't felt like that in ages. It's a part of myself that I miss. So like, it's almost like giving yourself the permission as well to, you can be a mum, but you're also you, like, not to lose that self-identity, and you can go out and have a good time and put the heels on, and you know, it's good for you.
Yeah, I agree. I think you need to do that. You need to also remember who you are, not just as a mum, and you appreciate it so much more when you go out and you spend the time putting your makeup on and putting nice clothes on, that, you know, the kids aren't going to put all their sticky fingers all over.
Yeah, it's so nice. I'm still trying to work out how people get out of the house. So for me now, the biggest struggle I find with my personal style is, well, I have to drop the kids off. He's dropping the kids off at nursery school. How do you get ready if you have something to do afterwards? This is a new struggle of mine. And I feel like it's all in before prep. Like, it's actually quite easy if you just like, right, okay, I'm going to put this downstairs in the downstairs toilet. That's what I'm wearing tomorrow. It's exactly the same effort putting on a pair of jeans and a nice top as it is to put on any other type of clothing. Like, it's the same thing. So fine. And then just like making sure I have a little bit of makeup down there, just 4 minutes, like pop a bit of BB cream on, do the rest in the car. But that, like, when I, on the days where I actually make the effort the night before, I feel so much better, because I was just going from nursery to like a coffee shop or going to meet a friend, like feeling like, oh, it makes you feel a little bit, I don't know, not ready for the day, not ready to seize the day when you haven't like prepared yourself properly or got ready, like taking pride in it, you know?
It's a lot less stressful when you've kind of split it up and prepped some the night before. And
yeah, if I don't prep the night before, I'm like, that's it. I'm walking out the door like a crazy person.
And then can you tell us a little bit about your new baby, Carob. It's your new brand.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. So I started Carob like because my motherhood journey, and I wanted to link it to kind of my years experience in the fashion industry. And also, like you were saying, I want my whole thing I loved most about my career is like making women feel good. Like when people put something on and you can just see everything change, they're just like, oh, yeah, no, I like this. Like shoulders go back, they look up, like it just completely changes the way you carry yourself. I was like, I want to kind of give this to the mums that have missed it. So like to get dressed up with your daughter and go out and have a lovely time. Yeah, kind of just universal dresses that work well on all women, plus sustainable. So that is a challenge, but we're getting there.
How have you found building the business? Like, I'm honestly, I think this is the number one question on every mum's lips. Like, where do you even start? Especially when you're running around two children.
It's so hard. I think you have to, firstly, you have to like really want it. Like, honestly, I was, part of my self-identity was my work. Like, to be honest, like I felt a little bit lost without it. So for me, it was really important for my like mind that I did something that I was passionate about. So I just carved out the time, similar to you. Like, how did you train for a triathlon? I don't know. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. You just find little hours, little snippets of the day. And my kids are at nursery now because they're old enough to go. So that massively helps. Like, I can do stuff in the day and then be present when I pick them up and then carry on in the evening if I need to. But yeah, it's a juggle. Like, I honestly, this is my question on like for every woman. I'm like, so how do you
know? A huge task in itself, but you're doing something for you. So how did you approach designing the pieces that you have created so far to make sure they are suitable for kids? Are they comfy for mums and practical?
I mean, it's so hard because I have like 20 styles I wanted to do. And I was like, I've got to just choose two. What two am I going to choose? I went with the ones that I thought would be appealing to like most women, that I think would flatter most body types. That was a big one for me. I wanted to do one with sleeves and one without sleeves and have them like a little bit sexy. Like, I don't like anything overtly sexy. That's never been my style, but like the slit's like a little bit higher and there's a low back on the other one. Like, just something that gives you a bit of pep in your step. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not just a, you know, it's nice. I knew exactly what I kind of wanted to do. I really did stay true to my, try and stay true to like what I like and just hope other people like it.
I mean, they are gorgeous pieces. I mean, to be honest, I just wouldn't even know where to start even like sourcing them. How does one go about even doing that?
Well, I designed them from scratch. Like, so it goes from pen to paper. I did the drawings, then I did the, you have to do the templates online, send it to a factory, then you do the sampling. It's like, it is a process, but because I did start it in London and I have like the background in it, like I kind of knew what to do when, which was good. Yeah, it has been a process, I'm not gonna lie. Fabrics as well, fabrics are tricky.
Oh, I can imagine. What products do you have available right now?
So right now we've got the Francesca dress, which is this one that I'm wearing, and it comes in a toddler version and also a baby romper. It's so cute. Then we have the Annie dress, which is like a really nice bow tie, square neckline, low back. It's got a slight ruffle at the midline as well, which is great because it just like flows over any kind of anything that you don't want people to see. It like flows nicely over the midriff. So those are the two we've got at the moment, but we're bringing out a really cute like twin set, like shorts and top, which I'm very excited about because I love that. So it's got like a scoop neck and some bows at the front and it's really cute. I've got all these grand ideas, so hopefully there'll be a few more by kind of April.
That's so exciting. And then for anybody who wants to find you and shop, where can they find you?
So our Instagram is Carob Dubai, and yeah, our Instagram will take you straight to our shop and link in bio, and we have the website and you can buy straight from there or DM me. I'm always chat up for a chat in the DMs. Always.
And are you able to give us a little sneak peek on what the future of Carob might look like?
Yeah, like for me, again, I love girls. I love women. I want everyone to feel great. I'm really like particular about sizing. Like, so like I want everything to fit people right as well. It's one of my biggest like annoyances as a stylist was when things like wouldn't quite fit right. I was like, why have they put the back like there? You can't wear like bra and all this kind of stuff. So I really want to like make sure that everything is perfect. But how I see it is, just being a community for mums and daughters, and maybe bring out some boy clothes as well eventually. And yeah, just to be like kind of community where people can buy like nice things and get dressed up and go out, have fun.
Love it. And Holly, we always ask our lovely guests to share one tip and one product at the end of our conversation. So if you were to leave us with two of those nuggets, what would they be?
I mentioned the SRC recovery range.
Love.
Like 100%. If you're in the kind of postnatal, getting into postnatal stage, there's also an amazing brand for like really comfortable maternity wear called Boob Design. I don't know if you guys have heard of them, but they're fully sustainable as well. They're UK based, but I know you can get them here through shipping and stuff. But I bought quite a lot of their maternity stuff and it's really nice. So those would be my two kind of product go-tos that I've found to be most useful postpartum. Do you know what? This dress here actually is the completely, you can breastfeed in it because the neckline like comes down and you can wear it through pregnancy. So it's pretty good. But it is also white, so I need to bring it out in a different colour, hey? I just like I think it got a bit carried away. You know, we're in Dubai. I was like, oh, white's lovely. It's great. Yeah, my top tip to get your wardrobe kind of organised for how your new lifestyle is as a mum, and that means really being, like, honest with yourself about the categories in your wardrobe that you actually wear, like putting anything that you don't wear aside or even throwing away, and yeah, just regrouping, reconnecting, making sure that you open your doors and you wear the majority that's in there, not just 20%.
Love it. Thank you, Holly. And for anyone who wants to reach out and say hi, where can they find you?
So my Instagram is Holly Olgetti, or you can find me on Carib. I'm probably more over there on that side.
Love it. Holly, you've been incredible. Thank you so much for your time today.
Very nice to be here and chat.
Thank you. As always, everybody, please feel free to rate, review, subscribe. If you'd like to leave us a little comment, we'd love to hear from you. And you can find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Holly, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for chatting with us today, and we'll be seeing you very soon. For listening to this episode of Mother Tongue, we hope you enjoyed it. As always, please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and leave a comment. We always love to hear from you. Your support really means the world to us. And if you know any mums or mums to be who'd be interested in listening to our podcast, please feel free to share. You can also find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Until next time, mamas.